Good afternoon. Welcome, members. It is 4:42 p.m. on Monday, April 29th, and I'm calling the Committee on Rules Administration to order. A quorum is present. Members, we're going to be taking up the disposition of late bills that are subject to rule joint rule 2.03, and at the end of the agenda, we will take up the legislation that was sent to us today under Rule 21. That is a Kunesh proposal on education. All right, Senator Mahan. And for those who are joining us, if you've not been here, the purpose of this hearing is not to debate the matter of the legislation, but to just share with the Rules Committee why you're here and why the bill is late. Senator Mann, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. So with our Senate file today, it's late because we had a disagreement with the administration on the interpretation of the language, and we just recently reconciled those differences. This is only to do with the initial week. The remainder of the bill is technical in nature. We hired a new program director for the paid leave program who has stood up a program like this in the past, and so the technical changes reflect his expertise in making changes so that the program can run smoothly. It is important to pass this year so that we can continue standing up the program and infrastructure for a successful program implementation, which of course the process has already started.
Thank you, Senator Mann. Are there questions? Seeing no, Senator Limmer.
Madam Chair, I understand what the bill was, but why is it late? Could I ask why it's late?
Senator Mann, would you like to share that again?
Yes. So we've been having disagreements with the administration on the interpretation of some of the language, and we just recently reconciled those differences.
Senator Limmer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've had this discussion with this committee before on why we're always late on a great number of bills. And I haven't had this experience before while I've been in the legislature where we have so many late bills. And quite honestly, I'm wondering if they're to the quality that we should have. And is, as an example, on page 13 of this bill, I did have a suggestion, and I'd like to offer the A-10 amendment.
Well, Senator Mann, do you have a copy of the bill with you?
I do not.
All right, Senator Mann, do you have now the proposal, committee report, and there's an amendment?
I do, Madam Chair.
All right. I'm going to turn to Ms. Stengel, because this is a different process than, it's fine, but different, so I'm just going to turn to Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Two documents have been passed out. One in the top right corner is SS5430R. And this is the committee report, and the other is the usual thing that you're used to seeing. This is the A-10 amendment. Because this bill is in the committee as a late bill, the most recent engrossment has not yet been adopted, so it is the committee report that is before us. And so that is the document, the 5340R. So the A-10 amendment is adopting the committee report because that is what is before us. So couple that with the bill that is in your packets and you can see altogether what is happening.
Senator Loomer, I'm wondering if you could share with the committee members the amendment that you're moving and its purpose.
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, sure. Senator Loomer, I am wondering now that we have these documents before us, if you would be willing to talk about your amendment,
sure.
What you're trying to
sure.
achieve here.
Madam Chair, as you can see in the underlying bill on page 13, lines 4, there's a reference to for which applicant is incarcerated. This, I believe, is under the not eligible for family or medical leave benefits and any portion of a tip for any portion of a typical work week, and then you have these classifications. It seems overly broad, the words applicant is incarcerated. I think the bill could be a little more specific by adding the language after the words incarcerated for any criminal offense or under any type of correctional or court supervision following a conviction or adjudication or other disposition related to a crime of violence as defined in section 624, including but not limited to stays of adjudication, stay of imposition, stay of execution, or deferred sentence. Madam Chair, I think this specificity is required, and I would hope it would be seen as a friendly amendment.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess, first of all, I thought we weren't dealing with any policy issues in the Rules Committee. This seems to be more appropriate for the floor. And secondly, I have a question for Senator Loomer, though. When he says court supervision following a conviction, I assume you mean the years on probation. And someone can be on probation up to 5 years, for sure. And it seems kind of punitive, because when you're incarcerated, you have your medical coverage provided for you when you're in the facility, and therefore you don't have any need for paid family medical leave. You're already incarcerated. But if you're not incarcerated and you're out in the work world, but you still are on probation, and you know, I don't see why they should be, you know, someone should be discriminated against if they need to take paid medical leave to take care of a family member or their own health. You know, it's you do the crime, you do your time, and then you should be allowed to be back in civilian life and move on with your life.
Senator Loomer?
I don't really have a comment about it. I think the amendment is pretty clear.
Senator Mann.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with Senator Pappas in that if you have done your time and you're on probation and you're working and you qualify for the program and you get sick and you time off from work, being on probation should have nothing to do with that. But most importantly, I think that we are going to the judiciary, and I would be much more comfortable discussing that there instead of here. So at this time, I would request a no vote.
Thank you, Senator Mann. Are there other questions? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just request a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to kind of engross the language, if you don't mind. And I know that the it references 5430R, which is this three-page document, which then in turn, if you go on page 2, line 32, which is which is an effective date. But as I understand it, it's referring back to, or no, I guess I don't understand it. What line in the bill is it actually referring to so that we can see, not as part of this amendment that came along with the bill, but the actual language, if you don't mind, Ms. Stengel.
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Rest. If you look at page, on the bill itself, if you look at page 13, line 4 is where the amendment will be. So it's page 13, line 4, after the word is the Romanette I is inserted, and then after the word incarcerated, the remainder of the language is inserted.
I'm going to have to ask you to
Senator Rest.
Do that again, if you don't mind.
Ms. Yes. Stengel.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, on page 13, line 4 of the bill, it will read, for which the applicant is Romanette I incarcerated.
I got it.
For any criminal offense or two, and then the remainder of the new language continues.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Are there other questions? Senator Mann, is there anything more that you want to say? All right. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Murphy?
Nope.
Vice Chair Rest?
No.
Lee Johnson?
Aye.
President Champion?
No.
Senator Eichhorn?
Eichhorn votes aye.
Senator Frentz?
No.
Senator Limmer?
Aye.
Senator Marty? Senator Miller?
Aye.
Senator Pappas?
No.
There being 4 ayes and 6 nays, the motion is not adopted. Seeing no further discussion, then, Senator Mann. Senator Pappas moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 5430 and that the previous committee report for 5430 be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Mann. Thank you, Senator Pappas. Senator Frentz. Senator Frentz, you are here on Senate File 4643.
Yes, Madam Chair, members, thank you for your time in considering allowing Senate File 4643, the pensions omnibus bill, to proceed. The question is, why is it late? There are two contributing factors. First of all, as those who have worked with the State Government Committee staff know, they dealt with not only a large volume of bills, but some things that affected the chair's ability to attend. And I want to thank Ms. Beth Johnston for her work. In my opinion, they've done an incredible job in State Gov to get it to where it is now. Also, members may be aware that for pensions, the first and second deadlines receive an exemption for the first deadline, which is normally a way to recognize that pensions takes a while to develop. However, it's not nearly so much fun in a year like this, where the first and second deadline are the same day. With that, Madam Chair and members, I hope you would consider suspending Rule 2.03 and letting this proceed.
Thank you, Senator Frentz. Are there questions for Senator Frentz? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Frentz, thank you for your work on the pensions bill. I know it's every year that there's something more to do on it. However, I do want to make a couple, one suggestion on this bill, and Madam Chair, if I may move the A2 amendment.
Senator Johnson moves the A2 amendment. It will be distributed to committee members before we proceed. Senator Frentz, I understand this proposal will go to state and local government when we're done. Is that correct?
It's going to finance, Madam Chair.
Oh, that's right. It is going to finance.
15 minutes after this hearing, should this hearing in fact end.
Senator Frentz, do you have a copy of the A2 amendment?
I do not.
I'll give you a moment, Senator Frentz, and we'll turn to Senator Johnson, and he can explain his work of art here.
It's a very generous description of it.
I'm a generous person. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I won't belabor this. This just simply adds a working group in the interim here. To determine whether pensions should allow to have those convicted of a felony receive those benefits. Other states do cut off the state benefits for those who've been convicted of crimes, especially felony level crimes. And I think it's something that Minnesota should look into a little bit as a way of deterring some of the criminal activity, of increasing that punishment, because I know there's a number of arguments for it, but this would be a good way of just exploring that option, seeing what's out there in other states, and getting a report back from that working group so we can make some determinations for next session.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Senator Rest.
Thank you. Senator Johnson, when does a felony have to have occurred? If somebody commits a felony, and then 5 years later, they go to work for an agency that has a pension plan. Are they forever barred because they have committed a felony before they were even hired? Is that what you're getting at here?
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Rest, this is simply establishing a working group to make those rules and determinations of when one would be eligible, when one wouldn't any longer due to a felony or a crime, and when they would have to forfeit their benefits for that action.
Senator Rest.
Senator Murphy, it seems to me that it's fairly, I know it says whether legislation is needed, but it seems to suggest that the legislation is indeed needed, and the work group is directed to come back with it. To take away someone's pension, even if while they were earning the pension, even before they were earning a pension, they committed a felony. It seems to me to be cart before the horse kind of thing. Just an observation, not a complaint.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Senator Frentz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Johnson. I have not seen this before, and I'm going to work on the assumption that neither has the chair of the pension commissions, if I'm mistaken. I hope I'm corrected. I would ask members to vote no. Work groups are a healthy way for us to talk through some of the important issues. I cite as an example the energy permitting work group, which led to a great result and hopefully legislation that'll speed things up. I'd also echo Senator Rest's point. When we're talking about a forfeiture of a pension, that's a public employee that may have a present value to that pension. Let's say, the average female teacher in Minnesota now with a life expectancy of 90 years old, several hundred thousand dollars. And I wonder whether pension forfeiture is where we should deploy our work group resources. I do think work groups are a positive way to move stuff forward in the interim. And I am open, Senator Johnson, to talking with you on this provision. But having not heard from the chair, not heard from any members or advocates, I'd ask members of the Rules Committee to vote no on the A2 amendment.
Senator Champion.
Madam Chair, I have a question to the author of the A2. Is it customary that individuals participate on work groups and serve without compensation, Senator Johnson?
Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair and Senator Champion, I'm not aware of the compensation that they would receive either for or against. I'm not aware.
Senator Champion.
Madam Chair, then Senator Johnson, then why would you think it would be expedient for us to bring a two forward for a group of Minnesotans to work, and then you specifically put in there that they need to work without compensation?
Senator Johnson.
Certainly. Could you refer to the line that you're looking at, Senator Champion?
Madam
Chair.
Senator
Champion.
I'm looking specifically at your A2, lines 2.19 to 2.20. And if you don't mind, I'll read it for you. It says, members of the work group serve without compensation. So my question is, why would we think Minnesotans should serve on a work group without compensation? And then while you're thinking about that, Senator Johnson, I'd like for you to also go to the next line, line 2.21. And why did you submit a A2 that says participation in the work group is not lobbying? What would make a person conclude that if you're on a work group that you would be lobbying in any shape, form, or fashion, and that there would be a need to put comforting language in it in order to suggest that it's not lobbying? So if you could help me with those two questions, that'd be great.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Champion, I do appreciate that very much. I think a lot of these task forces are made up of members who are willing to serve our state. And so with the compensation aspect, this is something that it has been done in the past. I've heard of that before, but when it comes to the lobbying aspect, I know there's been a number of election law changes, especially last year, that have brought into question when people come together and discuss issues of legislative importance, do they need to register as lobbyists? And so this is something that we can clarify through our language right now, saying whether they're lobbyists or not, we want to make sure that it's clear that this is not a lobbyist activity. So thank you for that question, Senator Champion.
So, Madam Chair, if I could ask Senator Johnson another question. Senator Johnson, can you point specifically to me a work group that we've ever have put together and we specifically said that they could not be compensated and that there would be a need to clarify that they're not lobbyists? And if you could be specific, that would be important.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Champion. This is not unusual in language. I don't have other laws or bills up in front of me right now that can point to that. But as you're aware, you've been around the Senate before. You know that this is not unusual.
Well, to that point,
Senator
I have
Champion.
Been around, but not as long as some others. I've never seen us put that in language that the work group should be impaneled without receiving any compensation. So it looks as if Senator Miller might want to join this this conversation.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only thing that I'll add, Senator Champion, is it is not uncommon for us to have work groups where compensation is not paid. I think it's actually probably more common where the work groups are not paid versus the working groups being paid. So I don't think this is uncommon practice.
So,
Senator Champion.
Madam Chair, and you're probably right, Senator Miller. Can you specifically cite one to me?
I can't at this time, but I'd be happy to get you a list of work groups that serve without compensation, but I don't have that list in front of me.
So, Madam Chair and Senator Miller, since you made the offer, that would be great, and that would be kind, and I ask that you distribute it widely to the rest of the committee as well.
We will, Madam Chair, Senator Champion, we will compile that list and distribute it to the entire Rules Committee, and if you wish, we can send it to the entire Senate, too, if you would like us to do that.
Senator Champion.
Senator Miller, I think that sounds great. I think you should. So now that you put the offer on the table, I'm just accepting your offer. So I look forward to getting that information.
Absolutely, Madam Chair, Senator Champion.
Thank
we'll get that to you.
Senator Miller, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to make note, too, Senator Champion, when you look at the membership list as well, if you go to 1.24, it starts subsection 3, subdivision 3, membership. These are individuals being paid in their respective positions, and this would be within their respective scope of work as well. For many if not all of these folks that are here as well. So I think it is also a way of reducing the double dipping or any aspect that might bring.
Madam Chair.
Senator Champion.
Senator Johnson, I'd like to turn your attention to your amendment, which is line 2.3, which says a representative of the Minnesota County County Attorneys Association. So are you telling me that this work is a part of their work? And if so, where did you get that information from?
Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair and Senator Champion. So this is within the scope of that organization as well. County's Attorney Association works on legislative matters. So to my belief and all due respect, that's clearly within the scope of work of folks who tend to work on these issues day in and day out.
Madam Chair.
Senator Champion.
Senator Johnson, have you talked to anyone from the Minnesota County Attorneys Association to ask if this was a part of their work scope of work?
Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair and Senator Champion, no, and I believe there is a member or two here that might be able to answer that question, of whether pensions fall within their scope of work on a daily basis or on a basis of their job in one way or another.
Madam Chair.
Senator Champion.
I was just asked the committee to vote no on the A2 amendment because it appears like there's additional work that needs to be done, the individuals that should be talked to. I always think it's important for us if we're going to name a group and say that we want them to do something for free and we're not covering the cost of that work, that we should not do what I often hear is an unfunded mandate. So we're mandating a group and wanting them to be a part of it. And to even add insult to injury, when you think in terms of this A2 amendment, it says that the commission executive director may invite others to participate in one or more meetings of the work group.
Thank you, Senator Champion.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Champion. So, Senator Rest.
So I would ask members to vote no as well. And if we're going to see this approach again, I think it needs to be clarified that if the commission executive director is Senator Champion pointed out is inviting others to participate in one or more meetings of the work group, that they also may not be paid. So for that, not only under B sub 6, that it's not lobbying, but members of the work group nor anyone participating in one of the more meetings of the work group, they need to serve without compensation, if that's what you actually are meaning here, which I assume means also no travel expenses or anything like that. Anyway, that's my comments, and I encourage members to vote no. And has there been a roll call requested?
There has not been a roll call.
I request a roll call.
Senator Rest requests a roll call. A roll call will be granted.
Chair Murphy?
I just want to check and make sure, Senator Frentz, is there anything more?
No, Madam Chair. I am asking for members to vote no, but I do appreciate all the discussions we have and happy to engage with Senator Johnson offline about any proposal related to pensions.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Murphy?
No.
Vice Chair Rest?
No.
Lee Johnson?
Yes.
President Champion?
No.
Senator Eichhorn?
Aye.
Senator Frentz?
No.
Senator Limmer?
Yes.
Senator Marty?
No.
Senator Miller?
Yes.
Senator Pappas?
No.
There being 4 ayes and 6 nays, the motion is not adopted. Seeing no further questions.
Do you want a motion?
Senator Rest.
Do you want a motion?
Yes, Senator Rest.
I'll make the motion that you can read to me.
All right. Senator Rest moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 4643 and that the previous committee report for Senate File 4643 be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you, Senator Frantz. Senator Hurt. And Senator Hur will be here with Senate File 3887. Welcome to the committee, Senator Hur.
Thank you, Madam.
We're asking you to come before the committee to tell us not the content of the bill, but instead the reason why the bill is late.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, members, and thank you, Chair Murphy. Senate File 3887 is our environmental omnibus supplement to finance bill. And so the reason it's late and behind schedule, mainly due to our extended session hours. So we had to push our committee a number of times. And so we're trying to be as technical as possible so that we can make it on time. But, you know, our long session has caused the delay of our hearing of this bill.
Thank you, Senator Hur. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, Senator Rest. Senator Rest moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 3887 and that the previous committee report for Senate File 3887 be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
Thank you very much.
Senator Hurt. Senate File 4780, Senator Fate. We'll move, Klein. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Klein. You are here with Senate File 5354, and you are the second author on this DTSC legislation. Is that right?
Correct. Thank you, Chair and members.
Welcome to the
committee. Here in place of Chief Author, Senator Kerry Dedzic, and thank you for hearing Senate File 5354. Senator Dedzic asked me to present this bill because she had a chemotherapy and unable to join the hearing. This is a bill that regulates historic horse racing. It is a late bill because the topic was a late-breaking issue. On April 1st, the Minnesota Racing Commission approved 500 HHR machines for the track. In response, Senator Dedzic introduced a bill, and it was heard in state and local government and veterans committee expeditiously. That was the only committee stop, but since the issue emerged after policy deadline, the bill is late. Thank you to Chair Murphy and Senator Limmer for being co-authors on the bill.
Thank you, Senator Klein. Are there questions for Senator Klein? And seeing no questions, Senator Rest moves.
Yes.
That Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 5354, and that the previous committee report for Senate File 5354 be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
Committee.
Thank you, Senator Klein. Senator Fate. This is Senate File 4780. Senator Fate, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And again, please let us know why this proposal is coming to the committee late.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. This is the TNC bill. We've had a lot of stakeholder engagement between the TNCs, drivers, the House and Senate, authors, leadership, as well as the administration. We went through two committees so far, labor and commerce. We also had to wait for the DLI report to come out for people to accept and digest and talk about how to put some of the recommendations also in bill form. So I'm here today to ask for your support to move it forward.
Thank you, Senator Fate. Are there questions? Seeing no questions, then Senator Rest moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 4780 and that the previous committee report for Senate File 4780 be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Fate.
Thank you.
Senator Muhammad. Welcome to the committee. Thank you, Madam Chair. Before you, Senate File 2026, Speed Camera Traffic Safety Pilot Program. The bill is before you today and is late because of multiple committee cancellations.
Senator Muhammad, could you repeat that, please?
Oh, yeah, sorry. The bill is before you today, and it's late because of due to multiple committee cancellations in state and local gov.
Thank you, Senator Muhammad.
All right. Senator Rest?
Yes, that's You're my ready. Motion to void.
Senator Rest moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 2026 and the previous committee report be adopted and further amended to read the bill amended, the bill do pass, and be re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government and Veterans. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Mojave. Senator Westland, Senate File 2659.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 2759.
27. Thank you very much. Senator Westland.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is what we are affectionately referring to as the Family Law Minibus Bill. It contains several important family law provisions. This was caught up in the backlog in judiciary, and unfortunately, while it made third deadline, I think it missed possibly missed the other deadline. So I would be asking that the committee suspend Rule 2.03 and that this be sent to the floor.
Question.
Senator Rest.
Thank you. Senator Westland, I think this is the third or fourth time you've brought late bills to us. What is that? What's happening?
This
Senator Westland.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, this is actually only my second bill ever.
Then I would make the motion that we grant her dispensation.
All right. Are there questions for Senator Westland? Seeing no questions then. Senator Rest moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 2759 and that the previous committee report for Senate File 2759 be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted.
Thank you.
Senator Latz.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rest.
You know, as he's coming forward, it really was kind of a disservice to these committees to have, and it's of our own making, but having the first and second deadlines the same day, that, I think, you know, we can look back at this session and maybe even last session, although it's more noticeable this session. And Senator Johnson, you brought this up more than once, and I think we all agree with you. But I would hope that next year the committee deadlines don't have the first and second deadline, no matter how the committees are structured, on the same day. It's very stressful for our process, and I don't think it's particularly, I definitely believe it is unfair to chairs, to committees, and to authors of bills.
Thank you very much, Senator Rest. Senator Latz, welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
You are here with Senate File 4271. And as a reminder, you're here before the committee to share with us why this bill is late. We don't need to debate the content of the bill. Senator Latz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. As you know, judiciary is a very We see a lot of bills that come through the committee. I heard once that we probably see on a direct or re-referral about half the bills that move through the system. This year, we had a crush of re-referrals. We also lost about 2 weeks of committee time for reasons unrelated to our own work. Two of those days were because of activities relating to the law enforcement shootings in the South Metro. One was the day following the shootings, and we canceled committee that day out of respect. And the next one relating to that was the same day as the memorial service. And then we had some floor sessions, since one of our committee days is Mondays. Sometimes floor sessions run late and run right through our committee hearings. So not only do we have a crushing workload, but we were victim of circumstances in terms of timing this year. So we felt not wanting to be a bottleneck for other people's initiatives, especially, we were better off taking the time to hear as many bills as we possibly could, give them due consideration, and move on the ones that we felt were ready to move on. So that's, we did that, but we couldn't get it done by the deadline.
Thank you, Senator Letts. I know it is a hardworking committee. Members, are there questions? Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You look at me like,
Impish
look. All right. Well, thank you. So, Senator Letts, I just wanted to discuss something that may not be related to this bill, but I'm glad that you're before the committee, because over the last few sessions that we've had of these rules hearings, one common thing continues to come up. Last time, I think it was over 75% of the bills, the Judiciary and Public Safety Committee was cited as the root cause for why those bills were late. And I just wanted to bring that up today, maybe a good opportunity for you to explain the priority or how you prioritize bills within your committee and why those bills aren't being heard. And maybe that way we can kind of unclog that line here, and we won't have to be doing these sorts of late bill hearing rules meetings over and over again.
Puts her to sleep.
Senator, Madam Chair, if Senator Letts would be so inclined.
Senator Letts.
Madam Chair, well, I guess I'm the whipping boy for a lot of other bills that are late. I don't know. I know there are people that opt not to include private rights of action in their bills because they don't want to come to Judiciary Committee. I also know that there are people who get referred over to us just because there are data practices provisions. There are causes of action. There's liability aspects of things. There are constitutional issues that are raised. I'm not one to waive our committee's jurisdiction on almost anything. I know some other chairs take different approaches on occasion, and of course that's their prerogative. But it seems to me if something in the bill invokes the jurisdiction of the Judiciary Committee, then it's important for us to give it due consideration. I don't know how many thousands of bills get introduced every year. I don't know how that compares to this year. I can't control what people put in their bills, but if they put stuff in the bills that affect our jurisdiction, then I think we have an obligation to take a look at them. We give as much as we possibly can, hearings. Last year, we ran many evenings, sometimes late into the evenings. Senator Johnson, when you served on the committee, you were a part of this process of analysis in the Judiciary Committee, and you made worthwhile contributions. I'm sure you understood the value of the Judiciary Committee's review of bills in as much as the provisions invoked our jurisdiction. And I made a very conscious effort to try to keep the committee focused on the provisions that brought the bill to our committee, not to get deep into the other provisions. So I can't control what gets introduced and what's in the bills that get introduced and why they invoke our jurisdiction. When they come to us, I make a very conscious effort to give as many bills as possible the consideration that they deserve.
Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Letts, I'm not throwing the judiciary in the bus. Of course, that is one of the committees that it's near and dear to my heart. I do certainly enjoy the discussion and the conversation that you have there as well. And I don't want to make this look like a partisan attack on judiciary or anything like that, but it
good, because I'll blame Senator Limmer if I is.
These are your own members who are coming to the Rules Committee and explaining that judiciary was the holdup. So that's where I wanted to get some clarity on what was causing that problem, what that hangup. So thank you.
Madam Chair, to that point,
Senator Latt,
the staff has just informed me that we have over 800 bills in our committee. The only committee that had more bills referred to it was capital investment.
As I said, Senator Latz, I appreciate the hard work of your committee. Senator Marty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Latz, just wanting to check the judiciary appropriations here are the same ones you're covering in your own bill. The numbers look the same, but I'm not remembering the details.
I guess I'm not clear as to the question, but we haven't changed anything since they've gone through finance, if that was your question.
Thank you. And
Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that, because this bill is not going to finance, so I just want to make sure it was the same numbers, and you're covering that in your targets. I think that's correct, but I just want to...
Madam Chair, I think at some point we had our policy bill that was coming here. I'm not aware of our finance bill that was coming here. If it's the policy bill in front of you, we don't have any money in our policy bill. We very strictly separated a policy-only bill and then our finance bill, which contains some policy but only connected to money. So you should find $0 connected to any of the provisions in our policy bill.
Thank you for that, Senator.
I'm one who doesn't believe in the value of mixing bills, because I don't like putting any people in a position of negotiating or trading off policy provisions depending on how much money is going to be connected to something else that's unrelated. I just think it's bad for both policy and for budget practice.
All right. Seeing no further questions. Senator Rest moves. Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings for Senate File 4271, and that the previous committee report for Senate File 4271 be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Latz.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Senator Dibble. Welcome to the committee for Senate File 5244.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Senate File 5244 establishes a legislative task force on guardianship. I'm actually here before you for two reasons. One is because the bill is late, and the reason for that is because this bill actually started as a part of another bill, and it was sliced off and then started separately a little bit late in the process. Additionally, you know, was put a little lower on the list because it has a finance component to it as well, so was put behind in the queue behind other pure policy bills. The second reason I am before you is because members of the legislature would be appointed to this task force should the Rules Committee deem that to be an advisable step to take. That is in the purview and jurisdiction of the Rules Committee to approve.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Members, do you have questions for Senator Dibble? Seeing no questions for Senator Dibble, Senator Rest moves that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 5244, and that the previous committee report be adopted and further amended to read, the bill be amended, the bill do pass, and be re-referred to the Committee on Human Services. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed say no. And that motion is adapted.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Dibble. And last before us, members, is the issue of the Rule 21 motion on Senate File 5252. That is an education bill. Senator Kunesh. Whoop. It's Senator Rarick. Senator Rarick.
He made a motion.
He did. Senator Rarick made the motion. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the reason I made the motion is the language in Senate File 5252 found on page 35, lines 16 to 18. From our search, my staff search, we did not find this language introduced as a standalone bill. Thus, it was not given a hearing, and so it had no opportunity as a standalone bill to get testimony from the public. It was a last-minute inclusion in the DE amendment, which did not receive the three-day notification to the committee or to the public before that was heard as well. Most importantly, this is appearing in a supplemental E-12 finance bill, and this issue is strictly a policy committee area of jurisdiction. And so I just believe this should have been in the policy bill rather than the finance bill, especially being it did not receive any hearings prior to being included in the DE amendment.
Senator Rarick, thank you. Are you suggesting that this should go back to the Education Finance Committee or the Education Policy Committee?
Madam Chair, I would be recommending that this should go back to the Education Policy Committee.
And Senator Rarick, Senator Swatzinski is not here. Senator Rest.
So I want to understand the sequence of events. So the bill to which you're referring got included without a hearing in the policy bill or the finance bill?
Senator Rarick.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, the language that was incorporated into the education finance bill in the DE amendment was not language that was found in any standalone bill. And when you look at the language that is here, it is strictly a policy issue. And so it should have been in the education policy bill, not included in the education finance bill without any hearings and without it actually being within the jurisdiction of the committee.
Senator Rest.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Rarick, so why wouldn't your objection include, since it's a policy issue, sending it to the policy committee to act on the policy provision because it's not a finance issue, rather than going back to finance? And as I understand it, it going back to Ed Finance would also probably occasion it to have to go to full finance. But if it went back to the policy committee, it could go straight to the floor from there. Just, you know, I don't understand why something if policy was added, why it would go back to the Education Finance Committee, and I don't have any particular preference, but if we want to act on that bill, it seems like to me we would want the shortest, cleanest, most efficient path, but still abiding by our rules.
Senator Rarick, would you like to clarify?
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. Yes, Senator Rest, I agree. I would believe that this should be going back to the Education Policy Committee. What's in front of us is the Education Finance Bill, but this is a policy piece. So did the Rule 21 motion to come back here, and my request would be that this would go back to the Education Policy Committee to have this provision heard. Thank you.
Rather than it went to the floor. I'm just trying to understand, that's all.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Rarick, are you on the Education Finance Committee?
Madam Chair, I am the lead on the Education Finance Committee. That is why I was looking through this bill and made this motion.
Okay, and Madam Chair.
Senator Miller.
And Senator Rarick, just so I'm clear, you said, but do we have confirmation that this bill was in fact not heard in either the Education Finance or the Education Policy Committee. Is that confirmed?
Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The language in this bill is, we were not able to find it in any standalone bill. Thus, it wouldn't have been heard as a bill in committee. Again, it was in the DE amendment that came as the final version. The Education Finance Committee received that DE amendment 2 days prior to the first hearing, which did not meet our three-day rules, and thus we did not actually catch this. It was Senator Pratt caught this provision in the Finance Committee.
Members, what I'd like to do is just call a brief recess and see if Senator Swadzinski can come from the conference committee in which he's serving to be able to respond. We understood when we took this up that this was a finance question and not a policy question. So Senator Kunesh is here, but not Senator Swadzinski, and don't want to proceed without him. But he's in a conference committee right now. So if you wouldn't mind just standing at ease or sitting at ease, we'll be in recess for just a little bit to see if he can come. And if he can't, we will lay it on the table and come back to it. We're in recess. Senator Rarick and Senator Swadzinski, welcome to the committee. Senator Rarick, as you know, made a motion on the floor today, Senator Swadzinski, about Senate File 5252 and about a policy provision. I'm understanding now you've been briefed, and I'm wondering, I think the question for us is, do you want to see this policy matter before your committee, Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do not.
Thank you, Senator Swadzinski.
And I left my glasses downstairs. I don't want to widen them and break them on you and stuff, so I'm at a loss to some extent because I can't really read very well. But the answer to your inquiry is no, an emphatic no. We're downstairs right now. We're wrapping up our conference. The commissioner's testifying to the bill, and we're done for this session.
So the Education Policy Committee does not need to see this provision?
Correct.
Thank you, Senator Swadzinski. Senator Rest.
I appreciate the emphaticness, but not the policy perspective. I mean, that provision didn't get a review by anybody. It just appears, apparently, in a DE amendment, not heard, not discussed. Why shouldn't it just be taken out by amendment then at some point? I don't understand.
Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, it's apparently in a rulemaking section that's already current law for the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board, adopting rules for statewide credential for education paraprofessionals. And it's just three lines. It says, by September 1st, 2024, the commissioner must establish qualifying scores for each of the assessments approved under that paragraph that result in first-time passage rates for individuals and all racial and ethnic groups of at least 95%. And I assume it's in Senator Kunesh's bill. So you serve on that committee, correct? Right? And I don't know what Senator Rest was saying about it suddenly appeared or added. I assume that it was approved by her committee, which Senator Swadzinski serves on. So I would agree. I think he just didn't know. I just told him what it is. I would agree that it's a policy issue, but sometimes they're connected somehow with other provisions.
And as I understand this, that there was a DE amendment that was in education finance, which did get a hearing. Senator Kunesh is nodding. You may want to come up to the witness table and put that on the record. Welcome to the committee, Senator Kunesh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it was in the DE amendment, and we had a hearing on that amendment. There weren't any questions at that time, and it was included.
Thank you, Senator Kunesh. Members, do you have questions? Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, just a thought. I believe the House does have a provision similar to this in their bill.
It deals with the, thank you, Madam Chair. It does deal with the same issue, but their language is a little bit different. They have a working group, it's a little bit different, but the outcome is the same.
Senator Marty.
Because, Madam Chair, you would be able in your conference committee to be negotiating that. You don't have to end up with their language. I'm not sure if their language is better or worse or whatever, but at least they've had some discussion. But so if you didn't have that provision in the bill, you could still take it up in conference committee. That's my point. I'm not saying you should, but that's one way to deal with it here, too.
Senator Frentz.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and thanks, Senators, for raising this issue. I just want to say, you know, we have to have some boundaries and rules. We've got to have some parameters that send a message to the body that we will enforce deadlines, non-inclusion, that kind of thing. So I'm not suggesting any certain results here. I just think it's good for Senator Rarick to bring it forward. And I just ask members to say, like, when we have senators who say, I got to go to rules, do you want them to say, That's no problem. They always, you know, support the author. Do you want us to have some limits to when we'll approve it and not? And I think the better answer is the second one. We should have some, you know, teeth to some of the deadlines and the way we do things. Having said that, Senator Marty's approach makes sense to me, and I support whatever the three of you can come up with on your own, if that is a thing.
So I believe the options before us would be a member to take some sort of action based on what we've heard, and if not, then that we would move the previous committee report and see that be adopted and sent on its way.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Miller.
I support the Rarick motion, just for the record here.
Well, Senator Rarick.
And I would move the Rarick motion.
Senator Rarick, did you make a motion?
Well, Madam Chair, I can't make a motion, but I would recommend that this be sent to the Education Policy Committee to have a hearing. The language before us is policy language, and it was included in the DE amendment in the Finance Committee, but it did not. That was heard on the last week of third deadline. Policy language has to meet second deadline, which this language did not meet, and thus I don't believe should be included in a bill unless it gets a rules waiver or unless it goes back to policy committee to have that hearing. The language that we heard should have discussion, because when the language is saying you must get 95% passage rate. If 10 people in one group of folks take the test, this statute says everyone must pass. Because if one person doesn't, you're at 90% and you don't meet this. So I think this is something worthy of discussion at the committee level to be had before this comes to the Senate floor.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think another option would be to remove the language.
Yes.
I think it probably does make more sense to do that. And then Senator Kunesh and Senator Swazinski can pursue another avenue if they want to include this language. Otherwise, I think it's just going to create a problem on the floor and other places. And so, Senator Miller, if you want to do that motion or make that motion, or would you prefer to
pursue? I'll support your motion if that's the motion you're making.
You want to withdraw your motion?
I will withdraw my motion.
Okay. Then I'll just move that that we delete line 3516 through 3518.
Senator Pappas moves the deletion, and I'm going to turn to Ms. Stengel.
I can state the motion, Senator Pappas and Madam Chair. The motion would be, Senator Pappas moves that the previous committee report for Senate File 5252 be adopted and further amended to delete Article 4, Section 1.
Okay. So moved.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Senator Rest.
Thank you. Senator Rarick, would that then remove your Rule 21 objection so that the bill went forward without this language and would go to the floor? You would not then once again try and stop it or send it back here? I'm not even sure that's legal, but would it remove your objection?
Senator,
under Rule 21.
Senator Rarick.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, yes, it would.
Okay, fine.
All right. Ms. Stengel read for us an amendment. Is everybody clear on the amendment? Would you like to hear it one more time?
I think we're good.
Senator Pappas moves that oral amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, say no. No. And that motion is adopted. And with that, then Senator Pappas moves at the, oh, we did it. All right, members, I believe that concludes our business, and the Committee on Rules and Administration is adjourned.